Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning. It's Sunday. If it's Sunday, it's Hardline. Can we use that? No, we got to come up with something a little more original. How's everyone doing on this sunny Sunday morning? It is Hardline with Joe Beamer and Brenda Alesi back here with you. Brenda, good morning.
The B team is back, Joe. I'm live from the BBC, the Brander Broadcast Center. Joe's in our studios at WBEN. I'm home in Williamsville. And what a glorious weather day, Joe, for the last day of June. Absolutely beautiful weather. And hard to believe it's the last Sunday, I should say, in June. Because during the beginnings of the pandemic, it felt like time was just dragging. And now it's a different feeling, but it feels like it's going by rather quickly. So great to have everybody on board, and always a good day to talk politics.
Yeah, it does seem like things are now quickly approaching when last month it took forever. You know, it seems that the NY27 being moved would feel like it was a year between April and June, and the special election came right up on us. You know, I woke up Tuesday thinking, wow, today's the special election? You know, it seems like just yesterday they delayed it.
Right. And, you know, next week it's 4th of July weekend. So, yeah, time is flying by in these rather uncertain days that we're living in. But we'll get into that a little later and what's happening with the pandemic. But great show on tap, Joe. As you know, in just a moment we'll talk with State Republican Chairman Nick Langworthy. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll talk with Erie County Democratic Chairman Jeremy Zellner.
Yes, and it was a busy week for both, so let's get right to it. New York GOP Chairman Nick Langworthy joining us this morning on Hardline. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Nick, I'm doing well. How are you this morning?
I'm doing very well. It's a beautiful day, and I think everybody in the community can agree it's kind of nice to have New York 27 in the rearview mirror.
That is for sure. Well, for a few months at least.
Yeah, I think this one's in the rearview mirror for a long time to come.
Nick, let me ask you, just to kick things right off, you know, you had the Chris Jacobs sweep on Tuesday. We heard you talking with David Bellavia. 4 months from now, we have another replay of that election, Chris Jacobs in Nate McMurray. This is probably a simple answer, but what's your outlook for the rematch?
It's only going to be a real, you know, heavy duty contest in Nate McMurray's mind. I don't really understand the way he's behaving right now. He got beat so badly, so very badly on Tuesday. You think that he would just be gracious in defeat and walk away. I mean, Chris Jacobs has always performed very well with people of all party affiliations. So these absentee ballots, I mean, Nate might gain a little bit, but it's not going to be much. And, you know, this temper tantrum about counting the votes, when you get beat 70-30 on election night, you know, usually you're pretty humbled, but I'm not quite sure where this guy's coming from. The general election, you know, this was his shot. I mean, this seat, if you go back in time, has really only been competitive in an extraordinary circumstance, like when Chris Collins was running as an indicted, you know, disgraced congressman, or when it's in a special election, like we had back, you know, after, you know, the Chris Lee situation. But, you know, this is far less competitive in the general election, given the normal dynamics of voter turnout, the presidential election, Yeah, he really doesn't have a leg to stand on in his argument here. So, you know, it's going to come and go. Chris Jacobs is going to be a respectable, honest, decent congressman that, you know, represents all the citizens and taxpayers of New York's 27th district and all the counties. And his support is only going to grow.
Nick, good morning. Great to have you on board with us. Question for you about the president's support of Chris Jacobs. Do you think it made a significant difference, or do you think the win would have been just as decisive for Chris in this election?
The president was extraordinarily helpful here. What can't be lost on people is how unorthodox this election was. I mean, let's kind of recap what we've been through. You had, obviously, the resignation last fall. You had a scheduling of election first on presidential primary day, which was going to be in April, then a pandemic. Okay. Then fast forward, you know, as we have a nominating process in February, you know, Jacobs is the nominee. Then we have cancellation of the special election, and it's fast forwarded to June. You have a primary and a special election on the same day. You have, you know, candidates throwing 11th hour, you know, arrows at them, just full of lies and deceit and, you know, trying to manipulate the district attorney's office. Someone doing something. I've never even seen something so scummy as that move that we saw at the 11th hour in that primary. I mean, this has been a very, very strange situation. And the voters, I mean, you know, they pulled it off very nicely, and the election officials certainly did. But this was very confusing, on top of the fact that half of the electorate was going to vote by mail. I'm just very pleased that there's a decisive tone already. It's over. You know, they will count the votes. They'll go into the official results. But this has been really confusing. The president, when he gets into something, he goes all the way. And he, you know, supported Chris Jacobs very early, you know, in February, and that was never in doubt. I mean, there some of the candidates in the primary tried to, you know, parse words and say, well, it's a conditional endorsement. It was always an unconditional endorsement. The president speaks with a loud voice, and you know, I'll tell you a little secret that had we not had this pandemic, April 27th in the would have been a very large rally in downtown Buffalo. That was already in the works. But obviously circumstances of the pandemic changed that. But, you know, that was the on the list of what ifs if we had gone through the coronavirus situation.
Well, that's an interesting little tidbit. I'm glad you mentioned that to us, Nick. You mentioned about the last-minute attacks on Chris Jacobs. And according to reports, it was Beth Parolato who created that problem with him about the voting in Orchard Park and whether his residence was there and all of that in time for him to vote. How do you characterize her performance and also Stefan Mihailu's?
I mean, I'm not going to relitigate every aspect of this race. I mean, I think, you know, primaries are divisive things. The fact that, you know, Chris had to withstand a primary while standing as a candidate for the Congress on the same day just shows, you know, that he's double tough because he was unflappable in that race. I mean, you saw Nate McMurray try to act like a lunatic on stage in that debate and try to rattle Chris, and he just stood in the pocket and kept his composure. And I think that's a good sign for the voters here that you have someone that's not going to get rattled, that's not going to fly off the handle. I mean, we have enough volatility in our politics. Having someone with a firm hand that is going to steady the ship for this district is really what the doctor ordered. You know, I believe what Dennis Vacco said. He met with the district attorney's office that, you know, Beth Parolato and her team filed this complaint. I think it obviously came with a report from a private investigator. Within hours of that story breaking, you had a television ad at the stations conveniently on a Friday afternoon when it could not be pulled. That television ad was live on, you know, the way the ad buying works for both your radio and all radio stations and television is you can't pull the stuff down for Friday because no one's at the office. So you can't really rectify that until Monday or Tuesday. And at that point, we couldn't answer back, no matter how egregious the lies were. And I've just never seen someone try to manipulate the district attorney's office. I mean, you know, the ethics really stand to question. And honestly, if that is her, she really ought to be ashamed of herself.
Nick, let me ask you about that November election, because that is going to feature, as we mentioned, Chris Jacobs, Nate McMurray, and Beth Parlato running on the conservative ticket. But I have a question, and this is obviously your opinion, but if you were the chairman of the Democrat Party, would you be looking for maybe a different candidate other than Nate McMurray, seeing that he is 0-2 in this race?
You can't. I mean, the candidates we have now or the candidates that you're going to have on the ballot, our petition process was in the month of March and April. So they had no choice but to stick with Nate because they had to roll the dice that he theoretically could be the congressman at that point. So they couldn't run a different candidate on their petition. I suppose if he's an attorney, he could drop out. But I mean, I don't hear anything out of his mouth that makes it sound like he's going to drop out of any race. He is absolutely, stoic in the fact that he thinks somehow he's going to win this special election. I don't really understand anything that he's up to. But I don't believe this race will be one that the local Democrats or the national Democrats, for that matter, target in any way, shape, or form. This New York 27 is a dark red district, and all the national rankings on it will be a solid Republican seat for the November elections.
Nick, last week on Hardline, we had Rob Ort on the show, and he talked about his victory leading the Senate minority now and his being the voice of the opposition. How significant is it to you that he was able to pull this off?
Well, Rob brings a new generation of leadership. We had a town hall meeting this week with Republican supporters from around the state to talk about his vision for the Senate conference. And the Senate Republican conference is really some of the worst things that happened in 2018. The devastating loss of the state Senate majority, which we had for years, in the fashion in which we lost it, to lose 9 seats in 1 year, was mostly the reason why I ran for state chairman. Because I saw a party that wasn't reacting to something that cataclysmic. And I'm thrilled, honestly, that someone with the energy and the enthusiasm that Rob is going to bring to the table will be there as a partner to work with to try to recapture those targeted seats around the state. There's an awful lot of them. Unfortunately, we've got a lot of retirements as well. So, he and I have already been comparing notes, and he's hit the ground running, and it's going to be a tall order ahead. I've known Rob for many years, and he's very driven, to succeed, and I think he's going to do a great job.
Nick, let me ask you about the reopening of New York State and the phase system that seems to be changing every day, what's opening and what's not. My first question, just generally, how do you think that is going for not only Western New York, but for the entire state? And how do you think it could have maybe been addressed better?
I think that the phase system is working, but consistency is key to everything, and that's what's really missing, is consistency from Andrew Cuomo. He keeps changing the game as we go, and that's not fair to businesses. That's not fair to a lot of people as they continue to move forward. I mean, I see the big argument this week is gyms and malls. Well, why are you less safe in the mall than you would be in Target or Walmart? I'm sure everybody listening here has either been to Home Depot, Lowe's, or Target, or Walmart in this last several weeks. They're packed. You drive around and look at the shopping centers. You know, there's clearly massive demand, and people are out and about. Let retail open, but put the same rules in front of all retail.
That was the general opinion on Friday. We talked about the reopening and how at last minute, I mean, even less than a week, the malls were pulled from phase four. And just a follow-up, where do you think the communication between leaders from Albany to the local districts? Because it seems like, you know, you'll have a local leader say one thing, the lieutenant governor say one thing, and then the governor say a third completely different thing. For me, it looks like a lack of communication. I wonder how you see that.
Well, what you have is you have a local leader trying to do their job. I give them the benefit of the doubt. I mean, I'm sure that we could do a postmortem when this is all over on failures of local elected officials. But then the dictator decides something different and just says it to the public. That's the problem. We have to strip these dictatorial powers from this governor. We should be to the stage of this. We flatten the curve. The numbers are down. The numbers are down to incredibly low levels compared to what's going on in the other parts of the country. It's time to let local elected officials make good, sound decisions based on what they're hearing from people on the ground. No more dictation from, you know, the king in Albany. It is time for the state legislature to go back to work, to strip these powers, and have a representative democracy again. Because, you know, in many cases, there are businesses that will never come back. I mean, if you own a small gym and your members haven't been able to go there 4 months, guess what? Those people have figured out how to work out in other ways. You know, if you're a small mom-and-pop boutique shop, unless you have a flourishing online presence, you're out of business. And there's only so many loans or creative solutions from the SBA and others that can keep people afloat. Those are temporary, you know, life preservers, not something that's going to continue to keep the economy buttressed in perpetuity. So the governor needs to get out of the way. You know, obviously important safety measures, but he's picking and choosing. He's picking winners and losers, and the logic makes no sense. The Galleria Mall is just as safe as Target, you know, and in fact, it's less dense than Target or, you know, Walmart or any of the other places that have been open during this entire pandemic. I mean, that is what's insulting to the voters. I mean, when there's 50 people in line outside of Home Depot, how safe is that compared to going to the Galleria?
You know, Nick, there are so many aspects to this pandemic, and there's a lot of controversy, of course, about mask wearing. And I just read a poll that was conducted by HuffPost and YouGov in May, where it said 62% overall say a mask is a matter of public health, but 51% of Republicans agree with that. Curious, do you wear a mask? Do you encourage people to wear a mask?
When I go into any store, I say wear a mask. If I'm socially distant, I don't wear a mask. I mean, I do not feel that it's an intrusion. We have to, you know, this, we have to take it seriously. There's an awful lot of people that have lost, you know, says it's not a threat. I think it's a lower threat today here in our community than it has been. But you know, I also, in my role as state chairman, talk to people all over New York, and I know many people that had the virus. I know many people that had loved ones that didn't make it. So there is that is, it has to linger. You know, there could be a second wave. I'm not, you know, I don't know what to think in terms of the experts, because they change their mind a lot too. But I think that wearing a mask in the public place where we can't be socially distant is a responsible action.
So what do you think of those who sort of make it up, you know, a thing about liberty, and it's a principle that they want to uphold, that it's their right not to wear it? It's become a political statement for some people. How do you respond to that when you hear people say that?
I don't really respond to it. I mean, I know what I do for me and my family. I mean, if you really want to go risk it, I mean, I think the safest thing to do is to wear the mask. It's the most, I think, respectful thing when you're in a public place or a restaurant or somewhere to do it. It's a precaution. Hopefully we get to a point where we have a vaccine and none of us have to do this anymore. It is an annoyance, but I think there are many things about liberties that have been infringed upon. I don't find the mask wearing. I mean, we don't have in this state a mandate that we wear a mask every time we leave the house. I know the city of Los Angeles tried to do that. No matter who you're around or what you do, if you leave your domicile, you must mask. I think that's an infringement on liberty. To go into a public place, to, you know, interact with, you know, store owners or other customers, I think that is just a public safety protocol.
So. Nick, if there isn't an outbreak again in the fall, might there be a visit rescheduled by the president or somebody from the White House for Chris Jacobs in November prior to the election?
I don't believe that this seat will be one of those. They really have to spend that precious time in those swing states. We do remember we got a presidential election coming. So New York really not on the board of a swing state. There are other seats in New York that I think would be a higher target priority. You know, New York 22, which is Claudia Tenney running against Anthony Brindisi, or New York 11, Staten Island. I mean, there's many others, you know, some seats on Long Island that I think would be more likely to have a rally or a visit if things clear up.
Well, Nick, thank you so much for the time on this Sunday morning, and I'm sure as we get closer to Election Day, we'll be talking to you again.
Thank you very much. I'm very, very happy to be back, and I'd love to come back anytime.
All right, sounds great. New York Republican Chair Nick Langworthy joining us. Jeremy Zellner will be joining us at 11. And Brenda, before we go to a break, I just want to ask, you know, we talked about retail a little bit in that call. Did you see my video from Bath & Body Works at the Southgate Plaza yesterday?
Not only did I see it, Joe, I was watching it and thinking, when will it end? I could not believe how long your video was, which indicated how long the line was. Yeah, that was really something to see.
You know, I saw, I didn't see too many. Now, if I would have actually gotten out of my car and in that line, I think I would have taken advantage of Paula's Donuts being in the same plaza. I probably would have gotten my donut and then waited in the Bath & Body Works line.
Now, we know how huge those donuts are, but I think you could have even finished that donut by the time you got to the top of the line.
Exactly. Hey, like Nick said, it's great to see places open. I hope there's a way they can reopen the mall soon because, you know, there's so many retail stores in there that are only, you know, their money-making time is certain months, and a lot of them, they depend on summer event clothing, or as I call it, summer shopping. So hopefully there's a way they can safely do that, because you see the stores like TJ Maxx and Bath & Body Works and all these other ones that have opened, the first few days they're open, the lines are wrapped around the shopping center. So it's good to see people spending money again, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and it's good to just be out and do something that's considered normal. And, you know, I have friends who work in the fitness industry, and my heart just breaks for them. There's no end in sight for that. I know you've done a lot of shows on that, and I really hope that they can start to open too. They've taken the necessary precautions. They've complied with the safety recommendations. And as Nick was saying about, like, the Galleria, for instance, a lot of these places don't have the dense shoulder-to-shoulder kind of crowd, so why not let them open?
Exactly.
We can certainly talk about that, but definitely on board with that as well.
I think that's something we'll talk about after the news with Alan Harris. It's Hardline here on News Radio 930.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
WBEN. Welcome back to Hardline here on News Radio 930. WBEN, Joe Beamer and Brenda Alacy with you. Just heard from New York State Republican Chairman Nick Langworthy. Coming up next hour, we'll be talking to Jeremy Zellner. But, you know, Brenda, we hit on it right before the news. The retail situation has been a big talking point this week as we are 2 days away from going into phase four, but still no guidance for malls, gyms, and movie theaters. And that's got people talking.
It sure does, and I miss those very places. And I certainly hope that we'll get some guidance about what's going to happen next. By the way, Joe, do you wear a custom mask or do you like to wear a more basic mask?
It depends if I remember my custom mask. I'm a very forgetful person, and you can probably guess that by listening to me. When I'm in the middle of talking, sometimes I'll forget where I stopped talking. I'm very forgetful, so I have one of those basic masks in the car, so I don't have to go back home to get a mask. But I also have some custom ones. I've got a buffalo one. I actually matched it with my outfit when I went to the grocery store on Wednesday.
Color coordinated masks.
That's right.
I think we should do a hardline mask. You and I could wear those. At least two of them.
I like. I think it should be only for the host, and it would be a promotion, and it would be a way to stay safe.
That's right. I actually like the no frills one. The kind that you would see, you know, when you watch a hospital drama or when you walk into a hospital and you see medical personnel wearing those very basic blue lighter masks. I have a couple of custom ones. In fact, Big Four Northeast Cleaners is giving out masks to veterans. So they gave one to my husband. He's a Navy veteran, and it has stars and stripes on it. It's a great-looking mask. So, and I also received a mask when I went there. So those are great. They're a little heavier, though. So in the warmer weather, I prefer the lighter masks. But it's nice to have options.
Yep.
And as you notice, now, you know, with this new world we're living in, it seems like every car that drives by has a couple of masks hanging from the rearview window.
Yeah.
The rearview mirror.
I've noticed that as well. You know, with baseball season coming back in July, I'm going to have to get a Mets mask, right? I mean, obviously. You've got college football, I think, will still happen. So I've got to get a Virginia Tech mask. And I think we should have a few Bills masks for the season. You know, when all this is said and done, Brenda, when we finally are back to normal, when there's a vaccine and 2020 is in the history books, which will be one interesting chapter in the history books, we will all have our collection of masks to look back at.
That's for sure. It's almost like, the souvenir of this crazy, crazy year known as 2020. I want to go back to the race with Chris Jacobs and Nate McMurray for a moment, Joe. And I'm wondering, you know, what our listeners think about whether Nate McMurray was just too over the top in that debate that was on Channel 4 between he and Jacobs. You know, he kept interrupting him. He was yelling. I wonder if that turned voters off, because I was surprised at how poorly he ended up doing. Now, McMurray says in order to McMurray would need to win all the Democratic absentee votes, all the independent absentee votes, plus 2,000 more Republican absentee votes in order to pull off a last-minute upset. And those results won't be known until July 1st and probably not done until July 7th. So it's really interesting to see how this will shake out. But I think that maybe my opinion was that Nate was overly aggressive. And Nick Langworthy mentioned that Chris Jacobs stayed in the pocket. I love the football analogy, and kept his cool. So do you think that, Joe, could have contributed to what appears to be a lopsided win for Chris Jacobs?
Well, and this is something we talked about, I think, a lot leading up to this election, Brenda. Not only was it in that debate, but Nate McMurray, in my opinion, and we like Nate. I like Nate the person. You know, he's always open to coming on the show. Same with Chris Jacobs. Every time we've asked him to come on Hardline, they come on. They're always on the station, and we obviously like that. But Nate ran a very different campaign this time around than he did against Chris Collins. And I think that hurt him more than help him. And all you have to do is look at those poll numbers.
Yeah, it certainly appears that way. And I think, too, with Beth Parlato taking such an aggressive stance and filing that complaint against Jacobs, that may have hurt her down the road, too. It makes you wonder if that was, you know, here we are, we're going to throw everything that we have at this campaign. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, too bad, because it might be the end of the road for her, I think, if it's just that kind of aggressive approach. It did not sell in NY27.
No, not at all. And, like I was asking Nick Langworthy, obviously too late to change the candidate for November. But it'll be interesting to see how fundraising for NY27 on the Democrat side goes, since it is pretty much the same campaign, the same election. And there's really not much of a record to run on or run against. That's going to be one of my questions for Jeremy Zellner.
Right, right. You know, I'm sure Jeremy will have some thoughts on that. And what are your thoughts? 803-0930. The phone lines are open. And as always, the text board is open as well, 716-803-0930. And Joe and I are happy to take your calls. Okay, I see that Joe is, as we mentioned, I'm working from home. Joe's at the station, and he is jumping on the phones right now. So it'll be questions that we'll have for Democrat Chairman Jeremy Zellner. He'll join us just after the 11 o'clock news. And I expect to hear his take on whether Nate McMurray has a shot or whether at this point the writing is on the wall for him with Chris Jacobs' decisive win on that special election. And we'll talk to Jeremy Zellner about some other issues as we talk about the blue state that we live in. And Cuomo, Governor Cuomo, was on Meet the Press this morning, and we can have some comments set up shortly for that as well. But I'd like to know what Jeremy Zellner thinks about whether Cuomo's popularity now will have an impact on going forward, whether he'll be able to maintain that popularity, or whether there are so many people who, as Nick Langworthy mentioned, are fed up with him and just feel like he's a dictator more than a governor.
Well,
so we'll see what he has to say about that as well.
Brenda, the way I see this is, and you know, Nick did a great job of explaining it, but when you have three different leaders in the state saying three different things, it does come across as if the communication is not there. Right. One, you know, we've seen numerous times now where either the lieutenant governor or the county executive will say, hey, this is going to happen here or this won't happen here. And then the governor on the same day say the complete opposite. And again, I'm not blaming anyone. It just seems like there is a lack of communication from Albany to the different regions of the state.
Well, Joe, you know, and that's exactly why people who think politicians can never be trusted or believed, it just plays into that line of thinking. If you're going to say one thing and then either not say anything the next day or your lieutenant governor says something completely contrary, it does make you wonder if they're all on the same page or if they know what they're doing. So I think in this case, less is more. You know, if you don't have anything to say, don't say it. I know people are chomping at the bit to get back to some degree of normalcy, but to, you know, we have cross purposes and contradictions just makes the situation worse, in my opinion.
Exactly. 803-0930. Let's go over to Rochester and talk to John. John, good morning.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Brenda.
Morning, John. Welcome.
Hey, you know, I was really shocked at the results of McMurray-Jacobs outcome, although I know it's not completely settled yet. But I really thought Nate McMurray could have pulled an upset, especially when Beth Parlato came in with that campaign ad about the residency thing. But I'll tell you, I saw the debate on replay, and Nate McMurray looked like a wacko. He really did. I mean, that was self-destruction right there. So from that standpoint, I think I guess I'm not as much surprised at the outcome of being that I think it ended up 70-30 at this point.
Right. Yeah, at this point, yes.
The other thing I wanted to comment on was the COVID Chinese virus increases in other areas of the country. You know, I look at it a little bit differently, and we've talked about it before. Herd immunity. When I see the increase in COVID cases, to me, I think it's a good thing because we need to have herd immunity. This thing is not going to go away. To a lot of people, this is like a common cold. I think 90% of the people, it's like a common cold. My mom's in assisted living and in the town of Tonawanda, actually, and they have strict visitor. In fact, they don't allow any visitors. They have strict policy with their staff. They're tested frequently, and there's not been one case of COVID with the residents. There has been some cases with some of the staff, but, you know, in all these months, not one case. So what I think has to be done is they've got to lift the grips off the shutdowns and allow the population to get herd immunity. As long as the fragile and the people susceptible to a serious health issue are kind of put aside, protected. Otherwise, this thing's going to stick around for ages, and it's going to be self-destruction to our economy. I just think we need to embrace the higher cases of it. The young people that are getting it, they're not affected. There's hardly any symptoms. So we need to get the herd immunity. What are your thoughts?
Well, John, this is something we talked about Friday, because you're right. You see cases are up in different states, but not so much hospitalizations. And the good thing is the death number has not increased. You don't see more deaths a day than you were seeing a month ago in those states that see the increased cases. But I agree with you to a point, and here's the thing. I think we need to look at these shutdowns, and if you want to start backtracking, it should be backtracking on those who this poses the biggest risk for those in the high-risk category, for the elderly. I think there needs to be some kind of quarantine or kind of restrictions on people interacting with the high-risk groups. But you're right. We can't just shut down forever. You know, we flatten the curve. That's what this was all about. We were told this was to flatten the hospitalization curve. Well, we did that, and we're still being held back to the point now. I wonder if we're counting cases instead of hospitalizations. Are we going to now switch the narrative and say, hey, we can't reopen these things until cases are down? Because common sense is going to tell you, if you reopen, there are going to be an increase in cases, as long as we can make sure that those increases and that those that are going out and putting themselves at risk are younger, healthier people that can defeat this virus.
Well, look at what's happening in Florida, Texas, Arizona. I mean, Florida is now closing down their bars, no alcohol being served. People are not being smart about this, and that's what's making it worse for everybody, because there are going to be more cases. There is going to be a bigger outbreak. Put on a mask. What's the big deal?
I agree with that too.
I just don't understand, Joe and John, why people can't simply wear a mask. And it isn't necessarily to protect yourself, but to protect somebody who may be vulnerable. As you point out rightly, Joe, it is mostly elderly people, people who have comorbidities that are at risk. So I definitely think that we can continue to be smart about this so that we can reopen and try to have, you know, some of our life back. I just don't get it why people don't want to wear masks.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. I mean, you said it perfectly, Brenda. You know, I'd rather wear a mask than a ventilator. But if wearing a mask,
Amen. If
wearing a mask means I can go back to somewhat normal life, I understand the mask wouldn't be completely normal. But if more things can open, if the economy can get flowing again, and all I have to do is wear a mask when I'm out in public, I will gladly do it. I was in Lake Placid last weekend. We wore a mask when we went into the shops. When you walk into a bar or a restaurant, you wear the mask until you're seated. If that's all it takes to limit the spread and, you know, get the hospitalizations, keep them down, and more of the state can reopen, I will gladly wear that mask. And you know what, Brenda? I will get a collection with all of my sports teams on it. I will start getting Seinfeld masks if I have to. I have fun with it. But if that's all it takes to limit the spread, to keep us a little safer, and again, to get this economy back to where it was, I am gladly wearing that mask, and I will keep doing it as long as I have to.
And somebody just texted in about my comment about it's not easy to wear a mask. Apparently this person has asthma. Listen, I respect that, and I appreciate how difficult it must be. But it concerns me for somebody who does have asthma, because they are at higher risk, to try to wear it if you can, just to protect yourself. It's not easy, folks. I mean, I don't take this lightly, and I know it's very difficult for some people because of underlying conditions or other issues. So I definitely, you know, empathize with you about that. Are there alternatives? I don't know. Maybe there's a different type of mask for somebody who already has breathing problems. But imagine how difficult it would be to breathe if you ended up with COVID-19. So, Joe, certainly no easy answers, and you can't paint everybody with the same brush.
Right.
I get that. But for people who can wear a mask, you know, put it on. And I don't like it, Joe, honestly.
Yeah.
Thank God I don't have any breathing problems. But as soon as I get back in my car, I whip that thing off too. I don't particularly like wearing a mask, but
no, not at all.
I'll do it as long as I can do it, and hopefully not infect anybody else or pass it on to a loved one who may be in a more vulnerable population.
And I'm interested, you know, Under Armour has come out with a mask. They say it's easier to work out wearing this Under Armour mask, and they are sold out till August. But when that's back in, when that's back on the market, I definitely will buy one of those because I'm interested to see how much easier in one of those masks is, how Under Armour has come up with this breathable, workoutable mask. So that'll be interesting to see. But no, obviously it's an inconvenience for everybody. But again, I look at the economy. That's what I like to look at. And if it means that we can get businesses open, people can get back to work, then I gladly will go through that uncomfortable mask I have to throw on.
You know, you mentioned about Under Armour, and if they're sold out, then you can be sure that I think folks like Nike, Adidas, and other major sporting goods manufacturers will come forward with a similar type of product. I just read yesterday about how Nike had a huge layoff, so maybe this will be a way to you know, bring people back onto the payroll and put forth some of these new masks that people are going to need. This is not going to go away anytime soon, it seems, Joe, so all the more reason to try to, you know, adapt the best way you can. And in fact, somebody points out a great point here on the text board. If you can't wear a mask, how about just wearing a face shield? Maybe that would be easier. At least it would give you some level of protection.
Exactly. Hey, when we come back, we are going to talk to Jeremy Zellner. If you're on hold, we will get to calls after Jeremy here on Hardline on News Radio 930 WBEN. News with Alan is next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.